You're listening to Evenings on ABC Radio.
As well as being the first day of a brand new year, January the 1st is a big day for the nation's archivists. The annual release of a whole bunch of information from our national archives, as well as others, some really interesting stuff that came up in police records going back to the 1940s in Melbourne, and there have been state cabinet documents as well in Queensland to the Joe Bjelke-Petersen days, or the dying days of that particular government. Today we also learnt that back in the mid-90s, the federal government considered a carbon tax. And Kieran Perkins, he might have been surprised to learn this himself today, helped to secure funding for the Sydney Olympics. And maybe, just maybe, the Royal Mint could have been sold off as well. We learned all of that. But why did we have to wait 20-odd years for that information to come out? In some cases, why is information not released for 30, 50, even 100 years? John DeGravio can tell us. He's an archivist. He's a counsellor with the Society of Australian Archivists, and he joins me now. Hello to you, John.
How are you?
I'm well.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. I mean, this must be like Christmas Day for you as an archivist, is it?
No, it's like the fireworks display.
Waiting to see which ones go off.
Yes.
Now, why these arbitrary dates? Like, who decides when things are going to be released? Because it feels a bit sporadic at the moment. One lot are 30 years old, another, you know, 70-odd years old. Why?
Yes, it was a bit... Well, we work on a state level here, and we have a 30-year rule, so I couldn't understand what was going on at first. But then, looking into it, they had an amendment to the Act, the Commonwealth Act that governs the way that the National Archives works, and they changed their open access period from 30 years to 20 years. And so since 2011, they've been on a slow sliding scale downwards, slowly adjusting each release of records with a shorter period. So that's why it's been
it doesn't even end with a 5 or a 0 necessarily.
No,
you sit there thinking, why have they said...
Because each year, so they started, they passed the amendment in 2010, and so since 2011, records that were created from 1980 to 1982, you know, were released 30 years, 31 years, then 1982 to 1983, the following year, were 30 to 29 years, and so forth. So this year, on the 1st of January 2018, they released all the 1994, 1995 records, and that's 24, 23 years. So it's been a bit confusing, but they're just sort of transitioning this new period.
I mean, obviously, journalists in particular would be, you know, pouring through them once they are released and looking for something, you know, some kind of
dirt.
But often it's not really dirt. Like, I mean, this Kieran Perkins one, I just sit there and I go, why did they keep that? You know, to use the word secret seems...
They don't have to, really. I mean, they could have, if you are believing in open and accountable government and transparent, then there's no reason why records should be kept hidden. But for matters of national security and personal confidentiality, there are reasons why we have to keep records secure.
Yeah.
You don't want your personal information out there, and so the government's usually involved in things that need confidentiality for while they're doing the business of running the country.
Yeah.
Okay, and those things are pretty sensitive at the time, but sensitivity diminishes over time, and that's why we have this sort of arbitrary period, because all this work is being done at the public purse. We're paying for this, so we have a right to scrutinise what they've done and to look behind the curtain of their decisions and understand how their decisions had come about, and this is what these documents help to inform.
I feel like I should explain the Kieran Perkins one, because if you're listening to ABC Radio right now and you're thinking, why, what was this Kieran Perkins thing? It was, in a way, it's a bit of nothing, but it's also kind of interesting that the sports minister at the time, John Faulkner, and this is in the lead up to the Sydney 2000 Olympics, his task was to maximise the medal count. And he apparently used a year-by-year breakdown of Kieran Perkins' career from the age of 12 to successfully argue for a funding boost for athletes to say, if you do this, this is what can happen. So it's not like Kieran Perkins would even know. I mean, he probably found out, he was probably reading about himself today going, oh my God, I was a state secret.
There you go. And that's the secret of archives. They show you the sort of power that individuals have at influencing major things. Really, being alive is a wonderful thing because you get to affect things. You get to act. Some of us get elected to these positions of power in government, and it's important that they do the right job. And the way they demonstrate what sort of a job they're doing is through their record keeping. When that becomes publicly accessible, then we're allowed to actually peer in and see, well, what have they done? I mean, generally, if governments are going well, then we have utmost confidence in the system, but having those records behind it help us to understand why they made the decisions, what was the reasoning behind why they made them, and also gives us food for thought in terms of what we should be spending our money on in future. So just with the Kieran Perkins case, obviously he's gone through Kieran Perkins's career to justify a decision with regards to funding. Well, that's great because he had data. And without data, we've got nothing. I mean, that's the importance of having these sorts of evidential records available, and that they've got to be made. So all this thing about fake news that's been going around has been a real problem because it causes people to doubt bodies of records, which is pretty scary. So we really need archives now more than ever.
I want to ask you about archiving now and into the future. John DeGravio is my guest. He's an archivist. He's a counsellor with the Society of Australian Archivists, and a whole load of documents have just been released today, New Year's Day, going back in some cases, you know, more than 70 years. You know, you talked there about the importance of it and also about data. I just feel like data is at everybody's fingertips these days, data to the second. So why does data from the past matter, and what's being done about it today to keep the data for the future?
Well, look, it's an old cliche, but without the past, we have no understanding of what to do in the future. That's the irony of it. Everyone keeps charging onwards, thinking that they're the generation that know everything, and every generation that's come before us was somehow stupid or dumb, and that we're the only ones that know what to do. But the informed people understand what's going on before them, understand how we're tracking, because in our past are the keys to what's going on in our present, and why we've got the problems that we've got now are due to decisions that have been made in the past. So it's really important to try and understand what's going on there, how these decisions are made, what changes are needed, and negotiate a better future for ourselves. Now, this doesn't extend just back 200 years. For me, as an archivist, it extends back 50,000 years, right, encompassing Aboriginal Australia as well. And that, we are just completely blind to all that at the moment. We're not even including that sort of world into it. But it's equally important. And so it's an interesting time to really start understanding what an evidential record means, and to us, especially now when there's so much misinformation and rubbish everywhere. We're surrounded by it.
And yet you've got to wait sometimes 30 years to hear what was really going on. So that's what makes it so hard sometimes,
isn't
it?
Well, we don't need to. I mean, I think there could be a push to just say to people, well, what are the reasons that you need to keep? The National Archives proudly boasts that 98% of their records are open. When they open, they're fully open. 1.75% of those records are open but with exceptions. So there are particular bits of those records that have to be either blocked out for either personal reasons or for national security, you know, foreign confidentiality, those sorts of things that governments get involved with. And 0.25% are just closed completely. So we never get to see those unless you're in the special area of government that deals with our national secrets. So that's a good average. But then you've got to ask yourself, well, if it's 98%, why aren't those records open every day? You know, why can't the business of government be scrutinised in a different way? But it gets to the heart of business, you know, the way that we do business. They like to be able to keep the way that we do business, you know, confidential with the people that are in the thick of it. And that over time, that sensitivity starts to diminish and they turn from being in the heat of the work to being of historical.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see what is of significance this time next year when there'll be more archives once again. The Christmas day for archivists, you might say. John De Gravio is a councillor with the Society of Australian Archivists, and it's been lovely to talk to you.
The Australian Society of Archivists.
The Australian Society of Archivists. I'll get it right for you, John. Thank you.
Evenings.